Welcome to Global Crossings, a podcast produced by the Global Leadership Institute at Boston College. In today's episode, Dr. Robert Morrow, Director of the Global Leadership Institute, sits down with Connor Quinn, the inaugural Fulbright Scholar in Cybersecurity to Boston College, and Professor Kevin Powers, Founder and Director of the MS in Cybersecurity Policy and Governance Program at Boston College. Conversation includes discussion on the importance of cybersecurity as a global challenge, as well as Connor's experiences as the Fulbright. Listen to learn information on the application process and deadlines for the next Fulbright Ireland USA Tech Impact Cybersecurity Scholar Award at Boston College. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Dr. Robert Morrow. I'm director of the Global Leadership Institute here at Boston College, and welcome to another edition of Global Crossings, our brand new podcast. Today, we'll be speaking with Connor Quinn, a security analyst from Ireland, an expert in data security, and the inaugural winner of the Tech Impact Fulbright Award to the Cybersecurity and Policy Program here at Boston College. We also be joined by Professor Kevin Powers, the founder and director of the Cybersecurity Policy and Governance Program. I would also like to direct you to fulbright.ie, where you can find an application for this year's Tech Impact Award. You'll have to complete a few documents in an application, including the Fulbright Inquiry Form. You can reach us at gli@bc.edu for more information. Please take note that there are actually two deadlines for this program. One is October 23. This is to request a letter of reference and recommendation from the GLI at Boston College. And the other is for November 2nd at 4 p.m. on Monday, and that's for the full application. And Connor happened to be the inaugural awardee of this Fulbright. Connor, I thought maybe you could walk us through this a little bit. Tell us about your career and what led you to look into this Tech Impact Award, and why did it interest you so much?
Hi, Bob. First of all, Bob, Mimi, thanks for having me on here to talk today to you. And I suppose I've been asked this question quite a lot about applying for the Fulbright. And I always say it starts back to when I was about 14 or 15 years of age, which makes it sound like it was a lot of years in the pipeline. But I suppose one day in high school, I showed up to my Irish class, where actually the Fulbright Commission happened to be with the ambassador to the US at the time, because they were actually announcing some the foreign language teaching assistant Fulbright scholarships. And my Irish teacher, funnily enough, had been a Fulbright awardee to Boston College as well. So I suppose it kind of came onto my radar at that point in time. And as you might have guessed, I forgot about it for many years after that. And it was kind of, I suppose at the time, and especially going through university, in my head, it was kind of viewed as an academic thing and something that wasn't maybe really applicable to me. But once I went through university and in UCD, and I'd kind of got a taste for kind of the research element side of kind of what I was studying at the time, which was computer science. I was kind of toying with the idea of, you know, PhD and kind of going down that kind of research route. But I suppose I took the other option and went into, I suppose, the working world and specifically security consulting. So I kind of forgot about the Fulbright then again. But I suppose a few years ago, when this was first advertised with the Tech Impact Award to Boston College, I suppose what stuck out to me was it was for professionals as well. And I know the Fulbright Commissioner in Ireland are working very hard to kind of highlight that this is not only an academic award, but it's also open to professionals in particular industries. So I suppose that perked my ears initially. And then I suppose looking into it a bit more, and I suppose coming to the time had been working in cybersecurity for a couple of years, I might have been getting itchy feet to travel as well and kind of experience some new things, which kind of led me to apply, because obviously the Fulbright name carries quite a huge weight. Having looked into Boston College, and I've been speaking to a number of people who had attended Boston College as well, the kind of reputation of the university spoke for itself. And I suppose that kind of led me to apply initially those years ago at this point.
Great. You raise a really interesting point there, Kevin, about this particular Fulbright being focused on professionals. And Kevin, maybe you could comment on this as well about, you know, the focus of the program here at Boston College is on, it's on applied learning. This is not only about blue sky thinking. I mean, Kevin, maybe you could talk a little bit about the program that you've designed and what you hope, you know, participants in that program take away from it at the end, and what you hope they're able to do.
Sure. Thanks, Bob. And and Connor can speak on this as well, because Connor was really thrown right into it when we got him here last September. And it's been fantastic, and we miss him a ton. Our program, when we created the program, it was something that we looked at working with industry and the federal and state government here in the United States and academics at Boston College, of what was the need out in industry and what can we do to fill that gap. And that's how we built the program. And because we did that, industry and government became really vested in our program. You know, and we're continually changing. Our professors are all experts out in the field. So they're practitioners. So nothing still. We're constantly updating all of our courses, our programs, and our offerings as well. And it's really, how do we get the professionals that are needed out there? You can look at the literature out there right now, and they'll talk about in 2021, there's going to be over 3 to 4 million unfilled cyber professional jobs. You know, how do you do that? And that's what we're doing. We're trying to train people to make them available for industry and government to fill those positions. And, you know, I'll give a real, like, you know, Connor coming over, and I'm probably not doing him justice by saying this, but when he came over, we were in the midst of really building out our programs, you know, where it's really not just the grad program. You know, with Connor working with us, we've come out with two professional certificates that come from Boston College and Boston College Law School, focused on cyber strategy and data privacy, GDPR and HIPAA, but then also 4 graduate certificates focused on computer security, and then national security and global affairs. And then we have 1 in risk management, and the others on cyber analytics, you know, where we partner with the applied economics master's degree here at Boston College. And on that front too, we're also partnered with the Boston College Law School and created, not only with them, we have some courses cross-listed and we're looking to do more with them, but also we created a minor program for the Boston College Day students focused on cybersecurity. And we're trying to turn that into, and it looks like, a 5-year program. Where they would do 4 years at undergrad at Boston College and join our program. So Connor was in the mix of all of that. So although he had some fun, you know, sightseeing and whatnot, he was really, he probably has a whole new Rolodex of all the senior executives and folks in cybersecurity and business and banking and whatnot, you know, based on his work here through the Fulbright. And he probably knows the barista at Dunkin' Donuts quite well as for sure.
Right, Connor? That's for sure. And I suppose to jump on that as well, Kevin, I suppose with my experience coming over, I suppose a lot of my experience with courses had been from, I suppose, quite a kind of technical nature with those traditional academic structures in place, with the having a lot of the kind of technical, as in somebody who wants to do cybersecurity has to go through computer science and learn the ones and zeros. And I suppose having left that kind of teaching and gone into the working world, it's not really like that in the world at all, where it's not the case. And I suppose when I came over to your program, Kevin, and seeing it there, I suppose seeing the quality and the stature of the staff and faculty teaching there was what shocked me the most. And then I suppose the amount on top of the technical knowledge that the students get there was amazing as well, because, you know, it's not just about sitting behind a computer and solving these cybersecurity issues. You have to be able to talk about them as well and really converse across businesses or organizations. And I think, you know, the course really covers that.
That's great to hear. That's great to hear, Connor. And it's great to hear that nothing was lost really in translation, right? You came from Ireland to the United States and you still found value in the applied nature of the program. Can you talk a little bit about the impact that's had on you as a cybersecurity leader now back in Ireland? You've completed your formal program here in Massachusetts. You returned home. You know, what's happened?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of a few aspects about what's happened here. I suppose the me and Kevin spoke about it quite a lot when I was over there, as in, I suppose the way Fulbright works and the way we want it to work is there would have been no benefit to anybody if, you know, last December I fly home and then we never talk again or never collaborate again on any work. And I suppose that's the kind of main thing I like to tell people about this isn't just one and done. This is you're locked in for as long as you want to be. Kevin likes to say life, but it's you're still part of that ecosystem. You're still part of the group. You're still involved with all the research. So it's really kind of a great aspect. And I suppose how that's kind of, I suppose, affected me since I've come home is, I mean, that Fulbright name carries so much weight, and the amount of people from many walks of life, and I suppose in the working world, you're talking to someone who's heard about it, and in that, and you're automatically, you know, kind of perceived to be, you know, of a certain standard and a certain kind of intellect in relation to the topic as well. So there's that kind of aspect of it. But another big aspect of it is that lasting connections, as in you're creating lasting connections. People I've met over in Boston email me here when they're coming to Ireland. I think a lot of trips were canceled because of the current situation we're in. But it's really about that lasting connection for me. There's obviously the professional, I suppose, academic benefits of it as well. But you're really kind of engaged the entire time you're over there and when you come back. And it's even being here today talking about it is just one of those examples.
That's great to hear. It's good to hear that it's continued. I mean, Kevin isn't kidding at all when he talks about it being for life. I mean, Boston College is it's a lifelong endeavor and passion for most people who've been here. So it's glad to hear that those professional connections are continuing to pay some dividends. You know, Connor, maybe you could talk a little bit about your specific Fulbright experience. Kevin was discussing some of the things that you did. It sounded like you did quite a lot in your short time here, and it was quite impactful. But maybe you can walk us through, a day in the life of Connor Quinn and on the Heights, and then, you know, maybe Kevin, you can highlight, how you hope to build on that for some potential future Fulbrighters when they come through your program.
Sure.
Connor, I was going to say you go first, then I'll jump in.
For sure. It's an interesting question because you have all these thoughts about it before you go over, but then when you arrive in Logan, I don't want to say it goes out the window, but you just kind of have to go with the flow in relation to it, because you might miss out on experiences if you don't. But I suppose a day in the life of, I suppose, me there was, it was never the same. And I suppose Kevin will agree with that, because I suppose we were doing so much all the time there. I suppose I almost didn't have a second to think, and not all of that was work as well. But I suppose the main things that we were doing was obviously partaking in all the modules was probably one of the most beneficial aspects of it. Getting to see how that program works, getting to, I suppose, engage with a lot of the faculty was really a benefit. But also kind of taking part in the other research initiatives that are going on in Boston with the kind of groups that Kevin is a part of. I think we were out in the FBI one day in relation to that. We were meeting various kind of members of the cybersecurity ecosystem within Boston. So major companies inviting me down to discuss it as well. I suppose that's what it would be like, but it wasn't all work as well. And I suppose that's one of the major kind of Fulbright ethos as well, as in it is about kind of conducting your work and your research, but it's also about making connections and explaining why you're over there. And I suppose at a personal level, one of the things was I actually volunteered with the Boston College field hockey, the NCAA team, even a bit, helping out with some of their sessions and videoing them and stuff like that, because I play that sport here in Ireland. So it just kind of goes to show that it's not just about sitting behind a computer. It's just about, you know, getting out there, speaking to people, meeting new people, and kind of, you know, sharing different thoughts and different life experiences.
That's great. Kevin, what do you hope to kind of develop in the future from this?
Yeah, But first I want to, you know, just echo what Connor said. You know, when the first day Connor came over, he was wearing a suit and tie, and I told him I never want to see him dressed like that again. You know, you're on a campus. I was wearing a suit and tie, but the whole idea was, hey, you're here to learn what we do and help us out, and we want to learn what you do, you know, and help you out. But most importantly, we want you to get a feel of what Boston College is, what we do, and then understand the whole city, the New England region. And I can say this about Connor is, you know, he came back in March when we hosted the Boston Conference on Cybersecurity, where we had the FBI director give the keynote. We had all these senior executives throughout Boston, New York, and Washington. And that was actually probably the last conference in the United States, maybe the world at that point. Connor is known in Boston, and they say this all the time, like, how's the Fulbright? That's how he's known, as the Fulbright. People really took a liking to him because he worked hard, he was personable, and he was out there to learn, really. You know, and that's what he did. And then he helped us. He taught a class on forensics in my cybersecurity policy and law course, which had 60 students, half of which are law students at Boston College Law School. The rest are grad students in my program. And he did a fantastic job. So it was a lot of give and take back and forth, and it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, what I wanted to, you know, mentioned about the Fulbright Island is really that building the relationships, you know, between Boston College and continuing them going on with Ireland. And that's where you come in, Bob. And you've been doing that for us since I've been at Boston College. And, you know, without COVID, I probably would have been there three more times, just collaborating back and forth. And so, you know, thank you for all your work on this, but really thank you, Connor. Connor's been fantastic. I can't say enough about him. When he says, you know, he's a lifer, well, I say he's a lifer. He might not be saying that, but he's a research fellow right now in our program. He works with Professor Jim Burrell, who's a professor at the University of Hawaii, but it's a research fellow heading up our research programs at Boston College. And before going to the University of Hawaii, Jim was the deputy executive director for cybercrime globally for the FBI. And those are the people that we bring in and work with. So with that, I'll move on to your question of, what am I looking for the next group? So we have two people coming over, Joe Stevens and Liz O'Sullivan. And I'm excited for both. And honestly, I hope, you know, that they're here in the spring. I don't know if that will happen, right? So we might have to do some virtual piece or maybe push them out because COVID really, we don't know where that's going. So that throws a wrench in everything. Mm-hmm. But what I foresee for them is the exact same experience that Connor had. That they're helping us build out our programming. We're helping them develop as cyber professionals. I mean, Liz is already the CISO for Allstate Insurance, right? So she has a background, but we can help her more, you know, on the enterprise security front. And then with Joe as a national security professional, we can help him more with the cyber and also understanding the commercial side of things. You know, that's the piece there. But then helping them when they go back to Ireland and, you know, going to Ireland and sharing what we do over here. You know, it's a really collaborative effort. So one thing Connor didn't bring up is, you know, it is a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun work. I mean, I always say when I come into work, I can't believe they're paying me for this because I probably work 10 hours a day, but I love every minute of it. But we did have our share of Celtics games, Bruins games, and I know Connor hit the Patriots as well. So there was a lot of good times for sure.
That's great. I mean, it's not happening this fall anyways, those games in person, unfortunately, but, and you're right. It's going to be a messy fall, a lot happening, but hopefully by the spring, some of this will become a little bit more understandable about the kind of what the future is. And hopefully those Fulbrights will be able to join us at some point. Connor, I mean, it sounds like you did a ton, had a lot of fun. It was intense and a lot of hard work. You even learned about Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, you know, Boston is really, Dunkin' Donuts is really, really integral to the city here.
I'm going to open one in Dublin. Dublin Donuts.
It's, you know, Connor, can you tell us, you know, what was kind of the most rewarding thing that you worked on while you were here as a Fulbright? You know, I know that you worked a lot around the Boston Cybersecurity Conference that Kevin already mentioned. That's a highlight, you know, when I think about cybersecurity and the work that I do, but I'm not a cybersecurity professional. I'm kind of wondering for you, what was the most rewarding thing that you did?
I think Kevin kind of alluded it to there about getting to lecture in the law school and do that lecture on incident response and forensics. I suppose from my point of view, it was something I kind of hoped I'd get the opportunity to do going over there, but you kind of have to have a kind of limit on maybe your expectations in relation to that. Like I was probably late 20s and having no lecturing experience really in relation to it. Of course, I know the industry well, but, and I knew my topic well, but getting that opportunity, and I suppose the trust from Kevin and getting to I suppose, present something technical and quite deep in relation to the knowledge base to quite a diverse range of students. And as you said, with the law and the grad program people there, that I found that quite rewarding, because I wouldn't have got that opportunity here in Ireland for sure. So to have that trust and to be allowed to execute it, and I heard it went well. So I mean, that was very rewarding for me, and that's something I look back on quite fondly from it.
Yeah, the students clapped when you were done, if you recall.
Yes.
And I think that's because it was a good performance.
that's good praise. I mean, Kevin, you're a professor. You're here at Boston College. I mean, we would say you're part of the academic community, but you yourself you're in industry and in government, and you have a background there. Your faculty come from those spaces. I mean, what is it about coming to university and taking the time to kind of work on a project or teach that, you know, can enhance the professional capabilities? Is it just down to kind of the technical skill set, or do you see something else as you run your program about the relationship between, you know, the academy and industry and government?
Yeah, just using our program as an example, what I find is all our professors have vested in to our program. And, you know, they look not as our students as, you know, okay, I'm teaching these kids, and they're not kids. You know, the average age, I think, in our program is probably 33 to 35. You know, we have students as young as 23 and as old as 55, you know, senior vice presidents at that point. But what they're looking for is actually tomorrow's leaders, or they're coming in and saying, hey, that student over there is someone I would like to bring on to my team. You know, that's one piece of it. Or I like that student, I'm going to refer that person over to this agency with the federal government. And then the other piece is just, you know, it's Boston College. You know, there's a mission, it's mission oriented. And right now, cybersecurity, like I said, there's just not enough professionals out there. This is a profession that really speaks to the mission of Boston College, you know, service for others, service with the community, you know, doing for others, not just yourself. And that's what cybersecurity is about, right? You're not only protecting your national security or your company or academic institution, you're protecting your family, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, like everyone's out there, right? We're trying to protect that data. So it's a nice mission oriented feel. I think the private industry, just knowing, because I'm out there too, you know, I advise clients, I speak to boards often, they look at Boston College, you know, as, you know, hey, it's a premier institution, you have a premier program, and you're giving us the professionals that we need. You know, they're really hitting the ground running. And I'm not saying that just as a phrase, it's true. Our students, typically within 6 to 7 months, because our classes run in the evening, they're online now, you know, so we're virtual, and we were building out, and that was another piece too. Connor was there from the early stages. We were planning to go online at this time anyway, so we were already ahead of the COVID curve. So, what we're doing with our students 6 to 7 months out, they're working in the field, you know, whether they're starting off as cyber analysts, some have gone on, you know, literally the day after graduation, they've been in CISO positions based on their, you know, prior experiences and background. So yeah, I think it's industries looking to us to fill that gap, but also they look to us as bringing the future leaders, because that's just what Boston College does.
That's great. Boston College is well known, I think, for its leadership capacity. That's what we do, you know, very well here, I think. Is produce students who are well-rounded and kind of capable of discerning how they should behave and what they need to do. You know, Connor, to push it a little bit beyond the Fulbright, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the cybersecurity challenges you see in the short term, on the horizon here for the European Union, Ireland, and the United States, and maybe some of the value of the transatlantic conversation on cybersecurity. I think there's a lot of misunderstandings about what cybersecurity is. I think on the one hand, people just their mind jumps to things like TikTok because that's forefront in the news. They think it's kind of about spies. Last year I spoke at an event and I was going to talk briefly about, what we were doing in the transatlantic space around cybersecurity. And someone said to me, oh, that sounds a little bit like the CIA or something. Maybe you want to leave it out. I mean, so maybe you could just, explain, for our general audience about the value of this cybersecurity dialogue that we're having between Ireland and the United States and how we'll address some challenges that we mutually have to confront over the short term.
Sure. The way I would see this is, and I think we've kind of already spoken a tiny bit about it, is this isn't localized issues that, follows land borders in relation to things. So, I suppose within the industry itself, every kind of person and organization or country would have what we'd call a different threat model about what's the dangers or the most likely threats to them and their cybersecurity. And because there's kind of no kind of borders in relation to this issue, and kind of different countries, different organizations, and different people see different threats in relation to things, and the conversation, has to flow as if those kind of communications would as well, in relation to cyber. So when I'm over there in the US, and let's say when we're at the FBI and they're talking about the potential dangers of intellectual property theft that maybe people I've spoken to here in Ireland, it's not quite on the radar of institutions here that they might be targeted to steal IP theft, because I suppose there's quite an assumption that maybe financial is the motivation for quite a lot of cyber crime itself. So getting to see how maybe a bigger country in the United States that has like a lot more resources and maybe a lot more threats than Ireland would be to be like, hey, maybe we should consider this as well, where we are and what our things are, and have we thought about this as deeply as other nations? And having that kind of dialogue that we have, and these programs kind of really highlight that and really allow us to kind of continue.
Kevin, what do you see there as well? Do you agree with Connor's assessment?
Yeah, I do. I support Connor 100% in that. Well done, Connor, just like I taught you.
Yes.
No, I do. And I think he really hit the point home. It's a collaborative effort. That's really what we're looking for with our program, is working with the industry. And we continue to do so. And we do so with the federal government. And I like how Connor brought up the FBI. The FBI has been, super good to us before we were even a program. They were very instrumental in helping us frame our program, and then working with us to do outreach with industry. And a point I'll bring here is, when people used to think of the FBI, and they still do, it's more of, a special agent showing up at your house with a warrant, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm under arrest. Now the FBI, when they knock on your door, they're not there primarily to arrest you at all. They're there to help. They're doing outreach, and they've been using Boston College, and in a good way. We've been there to help them get the outreach out to industry and anyone really in the community as to what cybersecurity is, what they can do to protect and mitigate themselves, from these attackers, and then also what the FBI does and how they can help. So, it's really about collaboration, and we're all in this together, really. It's an all hands on deck approach. You can't be siloed in cybersecurity. When we talk about it, it's often everyone thinks cybersecurity is a tech issue. It's really not. I mean, the technology is complex, but it really comes down to humans. It's a business risk management issue that needs to be managed at the very top, from the board and the C-suite down. So there you go.
Great. Well, thanks, Kevin. Connor, before we jump off, I'm just kind of curious, any insider tips for any future Fulbrighters on navigating Boston College and the Heights and your time here, anything at all?
I suppose it, are we saying this podcast is sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts? Because that's what my Fulbright experience was essentially walking by three of them on the way to the campus itself. But I mean, the way and the approach that I went about it, and I found out quite quickly when I was at Boston College, everyone, I never had a bad word to say about anyone that I ever met there. They're all so open, and they're also willing to talk, willing to meet, willing to show you around, everyone on the course themselves. And that's how I really navigated it, was by talking to people, by seeing, hearing about the city, what there is to do, where there is to go, and just kind of making those kind of friendships and connections over there, because everyone, as you said, was so welcoming and of a really high standard as well academically. So I learned quite a lot from them as well. So it was really, that's how I navigated it, really, to be honest.
I do appreciate your time today, and I appreciate your enthusiasm for the Fulbright program and this engagement across the Atlantic.
Thanks, Bob. And thanks again, Connor, for everything. We're looking forward to getting you back here soon. And everyone, and all the Fulbright scholars.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin and Bob. And I suppose to anyone listening, if they have any questions on the application process, feel free to reach out to me as well.
Okay, great, Kevin. Connor, what's the best way to reach you?
Probably on LinkedIn, to be honest. Everyone's on it these days, so just Connor Quinn, and you'll probably find me up there somewhere.
You're the guy who has a connection to Boston College. All right, well, thank you very much, guys.
All right, Bob, we'll see you.
I just want to take a moment here to say thank you to Connor Quinn, again, the security analyst from Dublin, Ireland, and the inaugural Fulbrighter in the Tech Impact Award here at Boston College in Cybersecurity Policy and Governance, and to Professor Kevin Powers, the founder and director of the Cybersecurity Policy and Governance Program. Thank you guys for giving us an hour of your life, for talking a bit about the Fulbright program. Well, if you're interested in applying for the Fulbright, please point your browser to fulbright.ie. You'll need to complete the Fulbright inquiry form along with an application. Applications are due by 4 p.m. On Monday, November 2nd to the Fulbright Commission in Ireland. There is, however, an earlier deadline of October 23rd to request a letter from us here at the Global Leadership Institute. You can write to us at gli@ec.edu. With your cover letter and your CV, and we'll give you a letter to support your application, and we hope you are successful.
Thank you for joining us today as we work to enhance Boston College's presence and impact in the world by building trust, community, and dialogue. Please visit our website at bc.edu for more information on today's speakers, and follow us on Twitter at GLIATBC, or find us on LinkedIn at Global Leadership Institute at Boston College.